if SMUD or if Georgia Power or whoever it was, or Salt River Project, whoever, is getting back into the PV business, I think it's kind of putting up a white flag to saying we didn't create that viable, sustainable marketplace. Because if we did, we wouldn't need to be in it.
The Sacramento Municipal Utility District, or SMUD, has always been willing to experiment. The Californian city-owned utility built the nation's first utility-scale PV array back in 1984. Then, in the 1990s, SMUD turned that solar experience into the PV Pioneer programs, where the utility, before anybody else, experimented with residential solar, placing panels on homes and bulk purchasing the PV to provide a cheaper product to ratepayers. Join us this week as John Farrell talks to Brent Sloan, product service specialist with SMUD, about the PV Pioneer programs and how these solar programs create a viable, sustainable market for solar power in Sacramento. This is Local Energy Rules, a podcast sharing powerful stories about local renewable energy.
What I wanted to ask you about first, that, you know, the PV Pioneer 1 program, as I understand it, put solar on customers' houses. It was something that people actually paid the utility to do, and it was a way for the utility to get experience with distributed solar. And this program ran during the 1990s. According to a year 2000 report to SMUD, which I have read, the cost reductions from this kind of bulk purchase program were astonishing. So, for example, this is from the report. The installed cost of the solar arrays was about $375 per watt in 1999, assuming I understood that correctly, about $450 if you counted the program costs associated with that installation. But for comparison, the Solar Energy Industries Association reports that the weighted average installed cost of solar arrays of any size was $10 a watt in the year 2000, more than twice that much, and didn't fall below $450 a watt until 2012. So did I understand the numbers right in that report? And if so, how did SMUD get such a good deal installing solar back in the 90s?
Well, we certainly didn't wave our magic wand. I will share with you that the gentleman who wrote that letter is no longer with us, and the person who assisted him on it, the company assisted him on, is no longer one of our contractors. So I cannot, you know, without seeing their source material, I can't exactly tell you I'm 100% sure of each one of those numbers. I can share with you that the PV Pioneer program, as you and I are talking about it, which is installing PV on rooftops, was but really a section of the PV Pioneer program. So if we consider just the PV Pioneers, i.e. just those who had PV put on their houses on SMUD side of the grid and paid us a $4 premium each month to do it, the prices were nowhere near $450 a watt. But when we wrap in all of our community-based stuff, when we wrap in all of our grid-scale stuff, all the things behind the meter in our location, the millions of watts that we installed during that time frame, then you're talking about the economies of scale kicking in. I mean, we partnered with a thin film manufacturer, and they brought them here to Sacramento, and we used a lot of their stock. I seem to even remember some B stock we used in some of our, i.e. blimps, but were perfectly still good in our installations. So those came to us at almost nothing. So when you start adding in all the economies of scale that we get when we're doing megawatts at a time, you can lower those costs. But please understand, I mean, we weren't magicians. I'm very proud. I came on during that time. I'm very proud of what SMUD did in the PV Pioneer program, and certainly the PV Pioneer 2 program, which I was more directly involved with at that time. And you know, I spoke at UPEX once, and I said, you can have any solar system you want in Sacramento as long as it's a black Model T. And I said that for a certain reason, is that we went to customers' homes and we said, here's your 2K cookie cutter system. And we never had to worry about redesigning it. Once we designed it one time, it was simply placing it on the right spot on the roof. So how we delivered the product was substantially cheaper than a custom design system for a home. If I have PV on my home right now, and my system is designed for my home. That wasn't what SMUD was offering. SMUD was saying, hey, we're going to go down and you're going to buy a system, or when we got to the PV Pioneer, buy a system, but we're going to deliver a system to you, and you have choice A. Would you like to participate in the program? We're trying to learn about distributed generation. We're trying to get people to get solar away from being that special, unique, everybody stands around and stares at your roof for 6 hours. We want it to be something where you drive down the road and you expect to see PV. You and I are living in a world today where we may see that. I jokingly tell people that I'll know I've completed my job here at SMUD when two things happen. One, we no longer have a solar program, because it's just like putting in HVAC, a heating and air conditioning. It's just like putting in windows. It's just what we do. And I'll also know it because we won't have a new construction program that incentivizes solar on new construction homes. Why? Because people won't walk into a house and ask to see if there's solar. They'll walk out of a house and go, why was there not solar? So we've from day one tried to get to that point of the market where we're not necessary, because it's a viable, sustainable, mature part of our economy. And the best way for us to do it at the time, and I tend to agree with the gentleman who designed the program, the PV1 program, was to just get as many out there as possible. We happen to be blessed to live in a very, what people would call, green community here in Sacramento. We're well above our RPS goals, and our people want us to continue to stay well above our RPS goals as a nonprofit. So we were overwhelmed with people who said, yeah, use my roof, see if it's going to work, Smud. So it was really a meeting of the minds. It was really an opportunity for a very green community and a very green utility to step forward and say, we're going to do some crazy stuff and see if it works. But the way we're going to do it is just going to sell, but we're going to put a very basic, very simple, very small in today's world size system on as many roofs as we can and see if some economy as a scale got in. One of the things we also did through this, which there was none, was build a viable, sustainable contracting community. You know, nobody knew about PV when we started. We put it on. We had to go out and find contractors. We had to go out and train contractors. We had to be trained. Good gosh, I even trained building officials at some point because they'd never seen it. We were the subject matter expert on all this. We were doing it before, the state of California decided to join us with Schwarzenegger signing the Million Solar Roofs program. If you can take a look at the days, we're a decade or two before him. Right. So we're very pro-solar. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm curious about so many questions have come to mind to me in this. I guess first of all, obviously the cookie cutter system design seems to be a really crucial piece of this. And I think that, you know, it that really resonates with me in terms of, I just read a piece today about the unexpectedly high cost of concentrating solar power facilities, those very big 100 megawatt facilities that, you know, use mirrors to concentrate sunlight to make hot water and spin turbines, blah, 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 to generate power. And the solar PV systems, of course, are modular. It's all these little panels, the same panels that go on a home, go on in these large arrays, even when they build them at utility scale. And so there's a lot more opportunity to sort of iron out the challenges. And it sounds like SMUD had that same approach. I'm curious, you know, you mentioned the PV Pioneer 2 program, which was the sort of the second iteration. As I understand it, that's the one where customers would buy the system themselves. They would actually own them and have a net metering relationship with the utility. They'd be offsetting their own energy use. How was the utility involved in that? Was it the same kind of cookie cutter design? Was there financing? Were the costs similarly low?
Yeah, it was heavily subsidized, because now people have to realize, your listeners have to realize that before, we live in an incentivized world right now in solar, which means there are federal tax credits, there are some state tax credits or state subsidies, and then there, for California, there's the SB1 program, or the Million Solar Roof Programs, which is a state-mandated rebate system. SMUD was way beyond that. Well before that, we felt, and our ratepayer owners, because again, we're a nonprofit that is owned by the voters, our ratepayer owners said, we want to see solar in our marketplace. We incentivized PV systems in the 2001 timeframe at $240 a watt. Not incentivized, we delivered them at $240 a watt to customers. Can you imagine the incentive levels that required for us to do it? That's the commitment SMUD had to solar. And what we would do is we would go out and we would use the combination of thin film or crystalline near the end, because we matured. The thin film partner we were partnering with came into some struggles. We wanted to continue to deliver the program. We went to crystalline. If you remember back in the early 2000s, there was a lot of promise of what thin film technology was going to deliver. It hasn't delivered that yet, but we can always still hope because of the lower cost of manufacturing, but it hasn't been there yet. So we transferred to crystalline. What we designed was the same thing. We said, here's your 2K or 2.64 roughly. Here's your 2K system, string inverters, because that's all we had back then. And my design team, myself and the other solar specialists, we would go out and we would have to crawl the attics. We would literally go through the entire house and do a site survey. But we didn't have to worry about what equipment we put on anymore, because we knew that you got system A. Your choice was near the end, did you want one system or two? Because we had so much feedback about, I want two systems. But, you know, at that point, it was really leading the building officials through, because when we first started to do this, I had to crawl every attic and create span tables and prove that the roof wasn't going to collapse. Nowadays, you don't even have to do that because everybody knows it's 2 pounds per square foot and you're not going to fall through your roof. And so most jurisdictions kind of wave the hand, if it's a crystalline system, wave the hand, and you don't have to do roof spans anymore because it's a mature technology. Well, at the time we started doing this, every step we had to go through, engineer and prove, every step we engineer and prove. So it doesn't make sense for me to re-engineer a 10-module system, a 20-module system, a 15-module system, a 12-module system, an 11. No, no, no. You get your 10 modules. Have a good day. You get your 20 modules, so, I should say. Have a good day. So that's where we got the economies of scale.
So, you know, in this report that I ended up, that I read about, in the report that I read about SMUD's PV Pioneer program, they had this section about the potential for residential solar in SMUD territory was something like 400 megawatts. And there wasn't a whole lot on how they came to that number. But I'm very curious to know, you know, how successful have you been with all of these efforts, the Pioneer programs, now with the state programs? How much solar is installed on residential rooftops, and how does that compare to the overall sort of renewable energy mix that SMUD has that is continues to be ahead of where other utilities are in the state?
Yeah. I've looked at those numbers myself, and I'm constantly reminded that Sacramento is called the City of Trees. But yet everybody looked as every rooftop is something we could put solar on. When we were running the PV Pioneer 1 and 2 programs, we used to just jokingly say you're disqualified by zip code. If you live in Midtown, where if you look on us at Google Earth, you can't see any houses. It just looks like a giant orchard. Mm-hmm. Granted, 6 feet tall. We disqualified you for solar. Well, so I don't know where they get their 457 or whatever their number is. I'm sure as we continue to build and continue to grow and take up farmland and put houses on it, there'll be more opportunities for roof. We're well over 100 megawatts just in our programs, not counting our feed-ins and things like that. So we're nowhere near 450. I think that the world needs mavericks, and the world needs people who achieve what the mavericks dreamed. And we were very lucky with our PV Pioneer 1 and 2 programs to have mavericks and leaders in the industry, people who dreamed big and I believe achieved well. But those type of folks don't build viable, sustainable marketplaces. What we need is folks who come in and do the day-to-day operation. Will I retire before we get 500 megawatts of residential solar, as opposed to this report? I want to remind you, talks about all the different solar types, mm-hmm. that we classify PV pioneers, not just the, but you and I are talking about just residential, as in residential customer-sided, customer-owned distributed generation. I doubt we get to 500 before I retire in 6 years. I don't see that happening. The market is gone. Intake in our marketplace has gone up 300% in probably 18 months. I would have to do the exact math now, but we were averaging about 70 interconnections a month, less than 6 months ago, and we're over 300 interconnections a month now. So the market's blowing up, even in SMUD's territory, which is a very hard place to sell solar. I mean, one thing people don't understand is we're the third lowest rate in the state, one of the lowest in the non-coal utilities in the country, I heard. So the cost benefit for PV is not a good, easy sell here. You're replacing 9-cent power, 8-cent power, or energy, I should say. So the biggest comment we get from our contractors is, when are you going to raise the rates? It's like, well, we don't. That's not the object. You need to lower your prices. So, you know, but it's still a struggle for us here. We're very proud of what we do considering the rate structure we have. But, you know, people still make decisions on their, to some degree, right? I say everybody in SMUD territory who buys solar is green. They either want it on the trees or they want it in their wallet. But they're green. Mm-hmm. And so to some level, we all want to make sure we get our money back. Not everybody's like me and has, you know, 9,000 watts of solar on their house just because. Some people, you know, put an intelligently sized system on their house and offset their peak usage or their time of usage, or, you know, their peak power usage, as opposed to I had a commitment to want to be as close to 100% solar powered as possible. So I'm sorry I can't tell you that we have 457. I'm not sure where that number came from, and I'm just, every day I try to put more on.
Absolutely. Well, I was just curious. Like I said, this report is not only very old at this point, but it doesn't have all of the assumptions that were baked into it. There are a few utilities now in Arizona, and I guess Georgia Power also just announced a program to install solar on residential property, I think, and lease to the customers. I was curious if that is similar to, if you describe that as similar to the PV Pioneer program, and if you, what your opinion is about those kinds of programs where the utilities are owning solar on residential rooftops.
Well, that's a politically loaded question.
Yes, I don't deny it.
I would tell you that I haven't looked at their programs enough to know whether they're redoing the PV1 or PV2 program, or a hybrid PV2 program. I do think it's interesting. My first gut reaction follows with what I said earlier, that if SMUD or if Georgia Power or whoever it was, or Salt River Project, whoever, is getting back into the PV business, I think it's kind of putting up a white flag to saying we didn't create that viable, sustainable marketplace. Because if we did, we wouldn't need to be in it. But I think there's also utilities out there like ourselves who are tired of our customers being taken advantage of. They're promised a zero down, no money, it's going to no cost you. You'd be surprised how many times a day I get a phone call, and I literally mean a day, talking about I'll never have a SMUD bill again because I bought it from X company. I'm like, last time I checked, God turned the lights out every night. So you're probably going to still have a SMUD bill. And last time I checked, you're hooked up to the grid. But, you know, people are buying a product they've never purchased before. I use the example that if you and I were going to go buy a Tesla, it's brand new technology. It's really cool, beautiful car. Doesn't have an engine. It's got a motor. Totally different technology. But you and I would kind of know what we were buying. We bought cars before. We just haven't bought that technology of car before. Mm-hmm. You and I have never shopped for energy and power. Not one day of our lives in this country have we shopped for energy or power. I mean, there's a couple of large entities that are able to do some true shopping of the actual current, but not really the interconnection or anything. So it's almost like buying a Martian spaceship. But yet we have people, guys walking on a door, knocking on a door, selling people a Martian spaceship when they've never shopped for energy before, and then they're getting taken. So I think what you're going to see is you're going to see utilities decide, in some for-profit, but certainly the nonprofits, decide they need to get back into the marketplace to be that trusted energy provider and trusted energy advisor. Because I know there's people here at SMUD who would probably want to get back into the marketplace. I will continue to say we need to educate our customers, but we may play that game someday. Salt River Project or whoever it is you said may play that game because, you know, if customers are going to replace 10-cent power with 14-cent solar power, perhaps somebody just needs to step into their room and say, would you like solar? It's going to cost you 11 cents. Do you want it? Mm-hmm. At least tell the customers the truth. I think what you see now is you see so much dishonesty in some of these leasing programs that, you know, if you care about your customer base, I mean, we pulled a large segment, not a huge, but a large segment of lease PPA style zero down agreements, and almost 80% of them either lost money or stayed the same. Less than 20% actually saved money. So 80% of our customers who got involved in solar how many of that 80% of this sample set, okay, we need to do a bigger survey, but of this sample set, how many of those people thought they were saving money? Were all of them like me who said, I really don't care if I save a lot of money, I just want to have solar on my roof? Or were some of them like, you know, Janie Sue, who said, no, I'm doing it to save money? Well, I hope you're on the 20% and you're not on the 80%, because the odds are you're not saving money.
Is SMUD still involved in selling solar, or have you sort of created that successful marketplace and feel like the utility doesn't need to be in there as the seller anymore?
No, SMUD is not involved in the solar sales process. We are the trusted advisor of our ratepayer owners. We're the person that they can call, the person they can talk to and say, is this a good deal? I hold classes every 2 months. We'll probably go to more classes soon. We're about ready to launch an online video series of Is Solar Right for You? Are You Right for Solar? How to Read Your Solar Bill? How to Figure Out the Solar Pricing? We want to be that person who continues to be an advocate for solar power and continues to be a advocate for our ratepayer owners. Okay, and that doesn't mean we're hostile to our contractors. I work with contractors all the time, and I'm friends with many of them. I love our contracting community, but I will continually, with a smile on my face, of course, push them to lower their prices to deliver the product cheaper and more efficiently. I want them to get to grid parity as soon as possible. I want to get out of this business and go retire and live somewhere beautiful. But until that point, you know.
Speaking of grid parity, this is my last question, which is, you know, you are encouraging a lot of solar development, and I presume that most customers are using net metering to mm-hmm. offset their energy bills. At what point does that, you know, for most utilities, I hear that is not a sustainable system in the long run, because, you know, giving away power at the retail rate doesn't account for the costs of maintaining the grid system. How is SMUD preparing to deal with that, or you know, is that I know California also has a state process, but I'm kind of curious in your view on that.
Well, we will follow the state mandated policies. We do that. In fact, we're ahead of most of them, and it's very clear there will be a net metering 2.0, or you know, net metering B, whatever version you want to use, because this first version is designed to create a viable, sustainable marketplace. And I understand both sides of the equation. As somebody who benefits from net metering, I love the net metering policy, but you're right, you cannot continue to give people retail credit for a wholesale commodity. They're not selling us the can of Pepsi with the case and the marketing and the me talking to you and the people on the grid and all that. They're just selling us the fluid inside the can. Mm-hmm. But we're giving them value for the whole can of Pepsi. So I understand that. I mean, I'm a big fan of net metering. I want everybody to get it. But at some point, if we are truly looking to have a viable, sustainable marketplace, if that's truly what we all want, if we truly want an interactive grid, which I allow you and I get to come onto the grid and produce our own power and use SMUD's grid as a giant battery and interact with that grid, if we want all those things to happen, then we need to make sure the grid is stable, which means I need to know what comes on the grid and what goes off the grid, which means I need to be able to balance the grid, which means I need men and women on poles in transformers, and yes, I even need people to talk on the phone. There are costs involved in that. I think what you'll probably see in the future is a continually move towards first time of use. Everybody in the country is going to go time of use. It's pretty much a happening thing, which helps solar. But it also, you're going to see what's called a debundling of rates. You're going to say, okay, we're going to start pricing the fluid in the can as the fluid in the can. And we're going to price the infrastructure to deliver that product as the infrastructure to deliver that product. We haven't got there yet. Don't know when we're going to get there. But as you're just as much of an economist as I am, probably. I mean, you can't look at this business model and go, wow, you're continuing to deliver retail product, but you're buying it at retail, but yet you're having to deliver, you're not recouping those costs. It just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. For a long-term solution. Question is,
will we achieve our goal? And that's why I keep pushing on. As long as we have the same goals, then we're going to come to the same solution. Some people may come to it before others, but if we want a viable, sustainable marketplace, we want a marketplace that's there, doesn't need the government to give us incentives, doesn't need the utility to give us incentives. It's just like buying an HVAC. And what the utility does is we incentivize new and groundbreaking technologies at that point. We don't incentivize you to go put an air conditioner on your house. But if you want to put a super hyper efficient air conditioner on your house, that'll give you an incentive.
Right.
So that's where we need to be, that person who continually pushes the industry to these next thresholds. And we need to get out of the market base and just get into the, let's do cool new technology.
That was John Farrell, ILSR's Director of Democratic Energy, talking to Brent Sloan, a product service specialist with the Sacramento Municipal Utility District, about the PV Pioneer programs. More information about SMUD and other solar goods can be found on ilsr.org, where you can also find more local energy rules podcasts. Until next time, keep your energy local, and thanks for listening.